Lord, we just thank you that every age, you've always stood there. You've always had your arms out, hands out, reaching out to all your people. And somehow you had it planned, pre-planned, that inside, in the depths of each one of us, down through the ages, would be a cry, calling out, calling back, knowing there must be a God. There must be a true place of life. There must be liberty. There must be something right in a world full of so much wrong. And in a world that we live in today, when the wrong has come to full manifestation, let the right come to full manifestation. When death is fully manifesting itself, Lord Jesus, let life fully manifest itself in your people today. Granted, Father, and that's what we're here for, and that's what we believe. Darkness shall not rule forever, but light shall take over. And I thank you, Lord, for that opportunity that we have to be your children on this earth. You loved us and you redeemed us. Even when we were lost, when we were sinners, when we were enemies, yet you reached out and healed us. You reached out and loved us. You reached out and saved us. Before we could ever love you, you first loved us. And we turn back now, Lord, and love you back in Jesus' name. And you've asked us, Lord, to love one another as a sign of our true love and devotion to you. So help us to do that tonight, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're excited to hear the good news. Amen. I guess it's getting out there now, right? Yep. Brother Tom, we're not going to be able to hide it forever. But we have a new addition to, there's a new addition to the Trudeau family, but there's a new addition to the church as well. Amen. So we're really happy about and real excited for Brother Josh and Sister Ruth and for the Trudeau family, as well as for our precious Brother Tom and Sister Sharon and the little girls here. Amen. They're like, why can't we be with our little brother? Why are we here? So we're thankful for your faithfulness, brother. And we just, while you're standing, we're going to turn to Psalm number 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. And thank you for the worship leading, Brother Tom, this evening. Amen. I love the way Psalms opens, don't you? I mean, it opens talking about how blessed we are, and it ends with how we ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man or the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. May God bless his word. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just a little thought. I've dealt on this probably many years ago, a long time ago, but just a little thought tonight that I thought would be a blessing. The bride tree of life. Amen? The bride tree of life. How many understands that Jesus Christ is the tree of life?
Yes.
But we are also called trees of life, and really in the fullest sense of the tree of life, it is the bride of Christ that makes that up. She is both head and body. Jesus and his bride makes up who he is. He cannot fully express himself without us. Just like a tree could look like any other tree until you see the fruit. Now, you can identify a tree by its leaves. You can identify a tree by its bark. There's many different ways you can identify a tree, but the fruit is the best way. And the fruit is the proof that the tree is fulfilling its purpose. Hallelujah. And so Jesus starts dealing with that when he talks about us being branches and vine, branches, trees. He talks about fruitfulness, how important it is. In fact, the Bible begins with God saying, be fruitful. Yes. Amen. And Jesus looking and seeking for fruit. And the apostles speaking about it. And we'll address that a little bit more. So we are trees of life, or we are the tree of life by being connected to Jesus Christ. But the purpose of any tree is not to serve itself. You know, the fruit of the tree is not for the sake of the tree. The fruit of the tree is for others to either reproduce itself or to satisfy the hunger of the beings or animals that are in the area, or human beings. So that's the purpose of the fruit. The fruit of the tree, and the purpose of the tree is to feed, in most cases. Sometimes it's just to look nice, to look beautiful. Not every tree looks the same, but some trees are more attractive than others, and some people are more attracted to certain trees than other trees. Some people love cactuses, and other people would rather see oak trees or maple trees. It just depends. Some people love palm trees, and it just depends. But every single tree ultimately, originally, had a purpose, and that purpose was to bless the beholders and the partakers of the tree. So your purpose as being part of the tree of Christ, the tree of life, is for others. Do you believe that? That's what we're here for. We're here for others. We're not here for ourselves. Amen. So what I wanted to do is just kind of share with you how each part of the tree serves a purpose in bringing people to Christ. And all of you have all had the same exact experience coming to the Lord. Now, Jesus uses different ideas. He talks about, I'll teach you to become fishers of men, and he uses types of fishing to be types of how to bring people to Christ, bring people to God. But also the Bible uses other things like trees and so on. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. So I wanted to just kind of go through the five different parts of a tree and how that is how we all have come to Christ. We all have come to our purpose on this earth. And ultimately our purpose is to turn around and bring others the same way we came. We're not supposed to. I know it's in our training and our background that we bring people to Christ through by teaching them about Brother Branham. Right. I know that. That's what we've all learned that. But that was never the program. And realistically, that's not necessarily how you came. Yeah. You might have heard about Brother Branham and it might have did something to you. But ultimately, you came to the man, Jesus Christ. All these denominations out there that are titled by the names of a man are people had to be brought to the man. Whether it was Luther or Wesley or what have you, Methodists, they were brought through a man and brought into that religion. But that's not the case here. We find that we do have a voice in our day, but that voice constantly cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God." Right? Amen. And all ministry's job and our job is to do the same thing. So let's go through those five things. We're going to talk about the fruit of the tree, the leaves, the branches, or the bark, and we're going to talk about the sap or the life in the tree, and also the roots. Amen? So number one, you'll notice it's the fruit of the tree that's going to be the most important part of it, because that is what's going to attract people to the tree. Jesus went to the fig tree thinking there's got to be fruit on here. He didn't go there to say, well, what nice leaves you have. You know, let me see how the branches look. Well, what a great tree this is. The tree ended up being cursed because it had everything right except one thing. It didn't have any fruit. And somehow the fruit, lack of fruit, has some connection with the whole purpose of the tree, all the way down to the roots. The purpose of the roots, the purpose of the bark, the purpose of the sap, the purpose of the leaves is fruit. All of the purpose of everything else is ultimately going to be fruit. And if the fruit doesn't show up, the rest is just, it's for nothing. Might as well be cursed. Because it's deceiving, in a sense. So it's the fruit that attracted the Lord Jesus. It's the fruit that ends up attracting a real seed, a real child of God. People are going to come because of the fruit. Amen. What's going to bring people to Christ is the fruit. They're going to see the fruit in your life. They're going to see some kind of manifestation going on in your life that's not happening in their life. You have hope. They don't. You're excited about life. They're not. Right? They are miserable. You are happy. You are blessed, blessed, fortunate, happy is the person who's planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. As opposed to the person who is sitting with the scornful or walking with the miserable or, you know, standing with the complainers. You're not one of those. You have a different kind of fruit coming out of your life, coming out of your attitude, coming out of your mouth, coming out of the way you live. People see your face, just your face, your countenance. You know, Abel was happy. He knew who he was. Cain was not so happy. Because when Abel figured out who he was, it caused Cain to figure out who he was. That's why the devil does not want you to get any kind of divine revelation, because it'll show you who you are and reveal who he is. It exposes both. Light exposes everything. Creatures of darkness are going to run to the darkness, and the creatures of light are going to gravitate toward the light. So when you shine light, and you're a light on a city, and you're a candle shining in a dark place, it will attract the right things. Amen? And so that's our number one purpose, is to be moved. The number one thing that brings you to Christ is that you were moved from just the, say, the community into the crowd. People were attracted to Jesus because something was going on in his ministry, and they kept hearing people say, I was once a leper, now look at me. I was once sick, now I'm healed. I was miserable, now I'm happy. I was lost, now I'm found. I had no purpose, now I do. And this is attracting people's attention, and they're being drawn because of that fruitfulness. And they're leaving their situation, their ho-hum life, and entering an excited crowd. What's going on with this crowd? What's happening? Right? And it's accomplished by this kind of evangelism. Now, you wonder, well, who is supposed to be involved in evangelism? Well, you'll see it even happens among the crowd. Because remember when, I think it was Nathaniel or Philip, found his friend Nathaniel and said, you got to see this man. We think we found the Messiah. And he's asking him all kinds of questions. Where did he come from? And how do we know that could be him? But he certainly noticed the excitement on his friend's face. And this friend didn't have all the answers, but he had enough to say, just come and see. Hallelujah. And that's really kind of the evangelism, is just kind of an overflow of, once somebody experiences somebody, something, it attracts somebody else. And then, you know, it'll filter out. But this is all part of what the fruit is. You know, Galatians 5:22 talks about it. Let's just turn there for a second. These are all things that people in this world, and in America, you know, we have everything, right? They say in Africa, they say America's 11 miles from heaven, right? I don't know where they come up with 11. But at any rate, I don't know, somehow, you know, America has everything, and yet we seem like we have the most depression than any other country. People can go and shoot a bunch of people and shoot themselves. A millionaire, guy has money, has a beautiful $350,000 house, gambles. Apparently his life was pretty boring. You know, people can do this in this country. They have everything and they have nothing. And it's because they lack all these things. If that gentleman that we hear about on the news had these fruits in his life, he wouldn't have done what he did. It'd be virtually impossible. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You're not going through life with condemnation and feeling self-doubt, because you've got the fruit of the Spirit. Wonderful. And the beautiful thing is, if you read all these things, they're not even for you. They're for someone else. They're for others. People will be attracted when they see love. You are a recipient of God's love. You are filled with his love. You love him. He loves you. You love God's people. God's people love you. You have something amazing going on, and people want love. People are dying in this world for love. The real thing, what it really is, this false, fake love that's out there is just destroying people's lives, because it comes and it goes. But real love is unconditional. It's permanent and eternal. And it can never be shaken. It's amazing, isn't it? Love, joy. This is not just happiness, which can be fleeting, but joy is something more permanent. Hallelujah. And then peace. So all of these things are, you know, the things that you and I are experiencing in life that people are starting to, they start becoming attracted to. Like, what is that? How do you have that? And they want that for themselves. And so many times we struggle because we're trying to share what we believe in our belief system when you don't need to. You just need to share the fruit. If somebody needs prayer, pray for them right then. Amen. Don't say you're going to go pray for them. Say, hey, I'll pray for you now. Yes. Right? Such as I have, give I thee. Be more immediate about it. Start giving. Amen. We have to be the most giving people, like a tree that's full of fruit. Just here, you can have it. And if nobody takes it, the bees will get it. And if the bees don't get it, the worms will get it. Well, at least somebody's getting it. But the whole point is we're indiscriminate. Yes. The tree doesn't worry about if the bee is going to get it or if the deer is going to. I want the deer to get it. No, it doesn't matter. You give out the fruit. You don't try to control that. You just be freely giving. Giving, just like Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. Just give it out. Try to improve people's lives. If somebody's miserable around you and you look the way they dress, think, well, I don't want to get near that person. See, that's self-preservation. Instead, you should say, let me shine some light on that person. That person has probably never experienced light the day of their life. They're all manifesting darkness. Let me put some light on them. Maybe there's something down there. How do I know? But I don't want my fruit to go to a worm. Such as us. We were all worms. You're not a worm now, are you? Jesus can save the worst case scenario and restore that person and completely bring that person back to his original place, what we should be. What if they have tattoos? Who cares? What's that got to do with it? We're all getting a new body anyway. Hallelujah. All that stuff's going to go away. Who cares? Don't worry. This is our day. We're supposed to be in the worst day in the history of the world. Laodicea, the worst. We're at the end of Laodicea. It's even worse than it was when it started. And that's our job, is to scrape around and find somebody. Amen. Highways, byways, hedges, doesn't matter. We got to find that person. There's somebody out there. Why are we not in the rapture yet? Somebody's still part of it. They're not in yet. So we have a job to do. So when people see that we no longer are involved in drunkenness and murders and hatreds and complaining and all the other things that are listed. If you read verses 18 and 19 and 20 and 22 and on, it talks about being complainers and being just negative. Yeah. That's not us. That's them. That's not us. So there's going to be an attraction because negative gets drawn into positive. It's going to pull it in. You don't have to be fearful that you're going to be drawn into the negative. You're not. You have a direct hookup with the Lord Jesus Christ, and ain't nothing going to break that. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Yes. Nothing will separate you from His joy, from His peace. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and His peace that we have between Him and us causes us to have peace between each other. This is what people long for. They want to see it in their homes. Yes. They want to see it in their lives. And you have it. You know, God, our job, religion, pulls the fruit off the tree and puts it quickly in boxes and seals it up and tries to store it. And then we'll give it to who we decide. That's not our job. It's just let it go wherever it needs to go. So the first thing is what really brought you is you were attracted. Something drew you to the tree, and it was the fruit. It might have been healing. It might have been joy, peace, any of the other fruits that we've read about. You know, think about kindness. Kindness is rare. Where do you see kindness happening? Mm-hmm. Very rare. But people do have it. Mm-hmm. But they need to see it always happening. Goodness should always come out of us. Meekness or gentleness should always be coming out of us. Hallelujah. People need to see self-control. Self-control is really an amazing thing. It's an amazing attribute that is very rare, but people need to see it, and we need to develop it. That's what we're here for. Let's develop that. Let's develop reliability. Let's constantly be there. Let's get beyond ourselves and start realizing we're here for others. So that's what draws people out of the world and into at least the crowd, is they taste and see that the Lord is good. And then that starts this progression, hopefully. That's the whole idea. Now, some could come and receive healing, deliverance, all kinds of things, and go away and never come back. It happens. But that's not for us to decide. The second thing is the leaves, which is that people, you were drawn in beyond the fruit. Now you're being drawn into the fellowship, right? Fellowship, because now you realize I could belong to something. And this is why people join gangs. This is why people become police officers. Nothing wrong with that. Or the military. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of times it's because I want to be part of something. I want to be part of something bigger than myself. I want to be part of a crowd or a group or whatever it is. Something where there's a mission or a vision or people are going places or there's a purpose. People want to feel like they belong. And that's the leaves, the fellowship, right? The leaves create shade. You sit under the shade. I've got at my house a hammock I've stuck underneath the tree. And, I had that hammock for a while and didn't know I had it. So that's why sometimes it's good to move. You find things that you didn't know you had. It was kind of cool. So anyway, I set that up and I use it all the time. So Sunday I get home from church or going out to eat or go home and eat. And after I'm done eating, then I just go out and sit under the tree. Listen to the birds, right? God's radio. Just laying on the hammock. Nothing like it. It's a lot of fun. I love it. And so that's exactly what the leaves are a type of. It's a place where you can recover, where you can R&R, right? Get rest, get relaxation, get restoration going on there. And the leaves. The Bible says that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. There's something very healing about being out in God's creation. You know, they say that people have been tested and they've done some research and as well as medical research on this, that if people will just go out and walk every day, their health starts to turn around. And part of what they're told to do is to not look down at the road that they're walking on or even down to the end of the road, but look far away, as far away as you can look, to the mountains, to the trees, to the clouds. The further you can look, the better you'll be, the healthier you'll be. And they've tested this and found the huge documented results of people who were able to do that, and they were able to overcome illnesses and different kinds of diseases that they had going on in their bodies. Mm-hmm. Just by, and it wasn't, you thought, you know, they thought initially it's just walking, but they discovered that everybody walks differently. Some people walk looking out for cars and looking at the neighbor's houses, and then certain people were walking, looking at further away. And the further away they looked, the healthier they got. Pretty interesting, huh? And I think that sitting under the trees and just realizing how big God's world is and how beautiful God's world is and just changing our attitude is such a healing thing that happens on a deeper level than just a physical healing. It heals our minds. It heals. It's a type of healing our relationships with each other. You know, it heals our relationships with each other. It brings a fellowship, which is a kind of a healing or emerging. So it moves us from the crowd into the congregation because it's a real type, basically, of justification by faith. When you come under the leaves of God's word and the leaves of the truth, when you come under that beautiful chlorophyll, amen, of Revelation, it just starts to bring you into a place where the reason you're having fellowship with your brother and sister is because you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. There really is no fellowship. You can't just join a church and say, I have fellowship. You're not going to. People come to churches all the time, and even regular attenders, and never really connect on the same level of fellowship until somebody has absolutely accepted Jesus as their Savior. So the goal of people who are experiencing the fruit is to bring them under the leaves. They become a leaf themselves, as it were. They become part of it. And then finally, develop into Christ-likeness through sanctification by the bleeding word. You believe that it's the bleeding open word that brings us sanctification. It's both the blood and the word that sanctifies us. And it's definitely a part of our walking with God, and it's a part of our relationship with God. We have to become sanctified and Christ-like, and that happens because what we're doing is we find out that, okay, I've been enjoying the fruit, I've been enjoying the blessings that I feel in my life, now I'm enjoying the fellowship because I'm connected with this body or with the bride, you know, with the body of Christ. by being born, by being saved and growing. And now I realize that I need the Word. So you see, the emphasis starts to shift a little bit from enjoying the fruit to enjoying the fellowship, the leaves, to realizing I've personally got to partake of the Word. I need the Word, which is a type of the bark and the branches. I've got to have that solid something that holds me, you know, that keeps me, that feeds me, that washes me, that cleanses me. And it's a beautiful bleeding Word. It's constantly opening up, and I learn more about who I'm supposed to be. And it's an experience of sanctification. It's beautiful. We all came this is how we came. There's not a different way in. There's only one tree of life, and there's only one way in. There's only one faith. There's only one church. There's only one Lord. That's all there is. And this is the only way in. And people have made so many different ways you can do it, but this is the only way in. So we move from the crowd into the, from the community into the crowd, move from the crowd into what we might call the committed to grow, to become mature in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is a really committed person. Somebody who reads their Bible every day. That's a committed person. That's a believer who's saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but also allows that blood to come in deeper and sanctify. It's not a one-time event. Oh, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm going to just go through life. No, you're saved, and now you've experienced such a beautiful grace from the Lord Jesus. Your heart longs for more of Him. It's a real sign of a real seed gene of God, somebody that keeps on longing for more. We're never quite satisfied. We're satisfied, but we don't want to be pacified. We know where we can get deeper satisfaction, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
We can't be just pacified. Too many Christians are going around looking to be pacified, right? That's just a baby Christian. They never grow up. They need a pacifier. Never grow up. You got to hand out Pampers, pull-ups. And stuff, and so we need to grow, and we need to mature. And the only way we're going to do that is to dig into the, into God's Word and ask the author to lead us, right, to guide us. And as the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us into the Word, what's going to happen eventually is going to lead us to the next part, which is to be fully born again by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you can see there, the leaves, the bark, and the sap are a type of being justified, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that puts you into the very life of the tree. The sap of the tree that moves up and down through the tree is what gives life to everything else. It's actually bringing you to a place where you're beginning. Now you're going to start producing leaves and bark and ultimately fruit. You're going to be producing these things. And you can't, without the life, you couldn't do it. And if it was the wrong kind of life, it would produce the wrong kind of fruit and the wrong kind of leaves and the wrong kind of everything else. So it has to be the right life. And when you're born again by the Holy Spirit, you know, then you're entering into ministry. Now your life starts to change from what you need, even though the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a great need that gets satisfied, but it's a great need also that you become purposeful in life. And the Spirit of God gives you a new birth to a new life. And now you're now realizing I'm not just living for me anymore. I'm living for Him and I'm living for others. And now you're part of the very core of the tree. What makes the whole tree function? And, you know, it moves the sugars up and down and it moves all the energy back and forth. And what that does is it actually drives you. So now you're moving from the committed into the core, right? The core group into ministry, and finally that drives you into something that will take you from a little tree to grow up to be a mammoth tree, right? To become truly successful fully as a believer, and that is to it drives you into the roots. So that the roots of the tree is that we become fully rooted in Christ in order to launch out into our full mission in life and our purpose in life. And that is so that we can go from the core or from the roots into back out into the whole community. I mean, the whole purpose of the roots of the tree, because if the roots of the tree get diseased, if they don't grow, if they don't expand, then the rest of the tree is sort of ho-hum. It's mediocre. You have a mediocre Christian experience, which I think that's what's going on. A lot of Christians they go to church, they have fellowship, they are reading their Bibles, they're growing in Christ, you know, they are experiencing the Holy Spirit when they worship and when they feel His presence, and we have all that, but then it just seems like we can't quite go from mediocrity to something more full. And it's because of the roots. And the roots are a type of prayer. And it's the only part of the tree that's hidden. Because the prayer, Jesus said, don't do that out in the public. That's a tree with the roots on top, you know, and it's going to fall over in the next big wind. But hide your roots. Hide your prayer life. Don't do that out in public. Brother Branham says when you pray over the food in a group of people, don't do your daily prayer then. You know, that's not when you pray for the president and everybody. Just pray over the food. But we have our private life, and that's what the roots part is. It's where we dig in deep to who Christ is. It's you and Him. And you start to really pull from that heavenly realm, from that mysterious place, the things of God. And what that does is all those nutrients and all those beautiful attributes start to flow in, and it causes the bark to be better. It causes the branches to be stronger. The leaves get more full. The fruit gets more full. I mean, the roots affects everything else. Because Jesus talked about it. He says, I don't just want you to bring fruit. Remember how John the Baptist says, I'm expecting fruit. And Paul says, I look for fruit of my ministry. And all ministers do. All messengers do. Ministers, Jesus. Everybody's looking for fruit. But what our desire should be, as Jesus said, I want you to be more fruitful. In fact, he finally says, I want you to bring forth much fruit. And so to do that, it's going to require understanding that as we go through our process of entering the body of Christ through the fruit and the leaves and the bark, you know, and the life, and finally into the roots, now our ministry, our life becomes about how we can be better for someone else so they can come in.
Yes, true.
Are too many people coming up to us and they can't even find fruit? Are too many people coming up to us and there's like no leaves? I've got a tree in my backyard that has one side of it, it's got leaves, and the other side is just branches. What does that tell you? Yeah, something's wrong with that branch. I don't know what the deal is. Are we a branch on Jesus' tree, for example? That is a branch. We believe the Word. We're in the Word. But there's no leaves. There's no fruit. Even the birds won't land on that. They go land on the other side. The animals stay on the side with the leaves on it. They're attracted to wherever there's life. Something needs to change. Now, I thank God that we serve the God of the resurrection. And He can take our experience as a Christian and transform that. But I believe one of the greatest secrets, the greatest ways for us to do that is to go back to the roots. Get back in our prayer life the way we ought to and really dig down deep in our experience with Christ. And then we move from the core and truly will push us back out into the community again and start that cycle all over again, bringing people to Christ. They're going to be attracted to you because they're going to see everything and want that. But the first thing they'll be looking for again would be the fruit. Amen? So this covers all areas of evangelical. That's what we are. We're end time evangelism. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Pastoral, we have that under fellowship. Teaching, we have that under the branches and the bark. Prophetic or prophet type ministry is life or sap or worship. Remember how the prophets wanted to prophesy and have a vision? He said, bring me a musician. Remember that in the Bible? There's something about music that starts to bring the prophetic. There's something about it. Even Brother Branham says when Paul was put in the church in order and he wanted those who prophesy to prophesy, he said, Brother Branham says the best way to do it is before church even starts.
Yes.
Come early. Come when there's worship. Come when there's something spiritual going on, and then let it happen. And then it can be put together before the Word is ever preached. Don't be doing that when the Word is preaching. He put it in a separate category. Apostolic is roots. The apostle said, you know, we should not be dealing with who gets what bread and who, you know, all these little menial things among you. You guys can solve that. You can figure out how to do that. We should be committing ourselves to prayer and to the Word, delivering the Word. The apostles understood the power. And the Bible talks about these were men who prayed all the time. They got more done praying than they did trying to do things on their own. Hallelujah. And they ended up working effectively together by doing that. Amen. So you see how beautiful the bride tree looks? When everything is fully manifested, and then she can grow and grow and grow. And I believe we're in the end time, third pole, amen, where it's all about attracting. It's all about pulling what we attract to us. And the greatest way we can do that, as Brother Branham taught what the third pole was, is get into that prayer closet. Get alone with God, and He'll meet us there, and all kinds of things will start happening. And it'll bring that last person in. We don't know where that last person is. But He can guide us when we're in that prayer closet. Amen. And show us. God bless you. Sister Anne, if you come back again, appreciate her. So just read Galatians 5 from like verse 19 on down. It's pretty eye-opening. It's really a powerful thing. And start to think about being on the search. As you dig deeper in your prayer life, God will start putting a real heart and a burden for the lost in you. Because that's what you got to have. I'm just thinking about the catastrophe that happened out there in out west. And my heart is like, why doesn't our heart just ache for people more? You know, really, really cry out for the lost and just have such a burden. And I know it's because we don't go deep enough into our root system. If we go deeper in our root system, it'll come out, it'll show up. And we'll start becoming a lot more sensitive to people as they come around and start telling us stuff. We'll start realizing, okay, this is meant now. And actually, more people will start coming around you that maybe not normally would have. They just will, because something in them, they can't help it. They're going to start asking you questions out of the blue. You're going to say, why are they asking me this? So be in prayer. You'll just immediately get good at shifting. Say, Lord, I know something's going on. Help me right now. Help me know what to say. Help me know what to do. Teach me under your breath, you know, in your heart. You're just saying, teach me, Lord, show me. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will give you wisdom. Maybe you're going to pray for them right there. Maybe they need healing right there. Maybe you're going to invite them to come to church. Whatever it is, you're going to bring them to a place where they get something. It's all about, what can I give? Silver and gold I don't have, but I do have something. I want to give them that. Yes, that's the fruit. I got to give that. I'm loaded with healing. I got to give it out. I don't carry it all the way to the rapture. It doesn't make any sense to live as Christ. I got to be Christ to people. I've got to give this out. And so always be like that. Keep that attitude. That's that fruitful side. And as you understand, maybe some here, and this would be a good message, I think, on a Sunday, but I think this is for everybody to think about. Maybe some here are still in that process of moving through. Maybe they have experienced the crowd, you know, the fruit, and they've enjoyed that. Jesus told the crowd, the only reason you're attracted to me is because of the food. You know, they were hungry, they were fed, so that's still part of it. But He wanted them to be attracted to Him for more. Like, how can I have fellowship? How can I really be a part of this? How can I become one of your disciples? Not just be in a crowd, not in a multitude. How do I go from being in the multitude and I can be in the crowd, right? And how do I move from the crowd and get into the congregation to be saved? And those are all the things that we're here to help people do. And maybe there's some, like I said, in our own church who are somewhere in one of those steps moving toward the root system. They're not in it yet. They can still reach out and say, hey, come and see, right? We can all do that. But they can't really give fruit because they don't have any. So until we get to the root system, the fruit won't show up. So let's remember that's ultimately where we're headed. And then from there, everything can explode. Praise the Lord. Evangelism explosion is what I'm looking for. So that we can get out of here. One last move of God, and we're going home. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Lord, we just thank You for this evening and the words of life and the truth of life and the Holy Spirit, Lord, just moving in our hearts and inspiring us, speaking to us, addressing the needed things of this hour. I pray that You will anoint us especially anew, Lord. I feel anointing moving through us right now, and I ask, Lord, that You will increase it. May it just grow. May it develop into something even bigger. I pray that we'll spend more time in our prayer closets, digging deeper, into the ground, as you spoke one time about foundational things and said the man that dug into the sand, into the dirt, and got down to the rock was the one who had a stable home. And I pray, Father, that that's what we'll learn, that we'll get rooted and grounded in you, Lord Jesus. We dig deeper and get away from the things of this world and closer to the things of God. Bless it now, we pray, and be with us as we seek your face in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. What song you got there, sister?
Lead me, Lord.
Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Has he called you? And I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Sometimes we don't. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith, but you gave me a promise that you will never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe. So, Jesus, and I will follow. Yes, lead me, Lord, I will go. For you have called me, and I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Sing another verse. Your plans for me are perfect. I never need to fear. For though at times I feel alone, I know that you are near. Amen. My heart just longs to follow. I'm willing, Lord, to obey. Take my hand and lead me, Lord. I will follow all the way. Lord, lead me, Lord, and I will follow.